from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Wojtyn.
It is Fresh Fridays on the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. Happy Fresh Friday to everybody. How you doing today?
You want me to be really honest?
Yes.
Do you want me to really, really be honest?
Of course, always.
I just broke the chair. I just broke the chair. Fresh Fridays is off the chain. What in the heck am I going? No. I just broke the chair.
And you're at home. Is it a nice chair? Is Lillian upset?
I mean, here's the thing. I'm not even going to tell Lillian. I'm going to tell.
Hey. Cat's already out of the bag, dear. Yeah.
I broke the chair, y'all. I broke the chair. So that's okay. The kind of show we're going to have today. Ursula, what's on tap this morning?
Well, it is packed for sure. After a two-week hiatus, Michael Medved joins us again for What's New at 10. So many of you are asking us, where is Michael? Well, he is back, and we'll have him on in the 10 o'clock hour. We've also talked about the lack of shelter beds in Seattle and in Pierce County. Now we're going to look at what's happening in Snohomish County, and there's just a heartbreaking story that a reporter from the Herald is going to share with us. And of course, since it is Fresh Fridays, we are going to have fun in our 947 segment with our own version of Would You Rather?
Mm-hmm.
As always, we want to hear from you. 888-973-CHIRO. 888-973-5476 is our State Roofing text line. And before we launch into our top stories, I want to just remind everyone, please go onto our G and Ursula Show Facebook page. We have posted a link there now. We have decided where we're going to be. We're going to be helping to remove graffiti in the Fremont neighborhood. We want you guys to join us. We're going to make it a party. And so sign up there because these slots are filling up fast, G. Thousands of people have signed up from all across the region. So it's wonderful.
I'm looking forward to it. All right, Ursula, it's time to give the people what they want. Ursula's top news stories of the day brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
And even though fare collections are way down, Sound Transit has just voted to go easy on riders who fail to pay. Our transportation expert, Chris Sullivan, has been tracking this story, and he joins us live now. Chris, explain what's going on.
Well, basically, for the last 3 years, Sound Transit has been trying to figure out how they can reassess their fare enforcement system. They had that study that they looked at that showed unequivocally that they're, you know, people of color were being stopped and being asked for payment maybe a little bit more than they should have been. So that was one of the founding reasons for why they started looking at this. And they wanted to try to balance, you know, paying fares and then making sure that people who couldn't pay had affordable options to do this. So they rolled out their plan last night. And it has a giant fatal flaw, which I'll get to in a moment. But here's what it is. If you get caught without payment, you get two warnings now in 12 months. It used to just be one. On your third evasion, you have to pay a $50 fine, or you can go to a Sound Transit class or go to a focus group and have that waived. Fourth time in 12 months, you could pay a $70 fine or go to a class or a focus group and have that waived. By the fifth evasion in 12 months, you could get up to a $124 fine that could go to civil court. And that's one of the reasons people are concerned is that, you know, if you can't afford to pay, next thing you know, you've got a civil court lien on you. It could end up going to collections through the courts, potentially. And then, you have a low-income person who's now saddled with this on their credit history. It makes it really difficult to get up and out. But the problem is there's no enforcement at all of any kind on Sound Transit. So if you, a fare ambassador comes up to you, Ursula, and says, hey, can I see your fare? You can just look at them and say nothing. And that's the end of it. So they can't ask for ID. And if you want to, you can just refuse to give them ID. And if that's the case, they just walk away. So how could you track warnings or evasion if you can never find out who the people are? And right now, 76% of the people on Sound Transit who are contacted by those fare ambassadors, blow them off. Don't give them any information. So I'm not exactly sure how any of these five stages or things will work if you can't find out who the people are. So that's the fatal flaw going forward. It basically says you can ride for free because all you have to do is blow off the ambassador.
So why it took them 3 years to come to this conclusion, and yet we're dealing with an agency that right now is saying that fair collections are low, right?
They're
way down. They're losing money. Their transit ridership is down.
Yep.
It makes no sense.
There's no common sense in here whatsoever, especially the fact that it took them 3 years to come up with a plan that really cannot be enforced in any way, shape, or form. Because in the old days, if you were contacted by a fare enforcement person and they asked for proof of payment and you didn't give it to them, they would go to the next stop and you'd be greeted by a King County Sheriff's deputy and you'd be escorted off the train. They'd get their information. They wanted to get rid of that, so they did. So there are no longer officers involved at all. You look at Peter Rogoff said yesterday, the estimate now for through 2046, their latest estimate, they're going to lose $1.3 billion at the fare box alone from a lack of a variety of things, including fare evasion. And right now, 43% of people who ride light rail are not paying.
Dang.
And yet fares are supposed to pay for this system in a big way. So I don't know how that's sustainable.
Right. Chris, thank you so much for giving us the details. Gee, your thoughts.
This is the dumbest thing in the world. And let me tell you all the reasons why it is the dumbest thing in the world. So we have been caught unfairly, right? Stopping folks when we shouldn't have. We were wrong by that. And you know you were wrong. So because you were wrong and because you were doing things unfairly, we're just going to stop altogether. Let me explain something to y'all. The other day I was in the 7-Eleven. Oh, yeah, by the way, don't tell nobody. When I go to the barbershop, I always stop off at the 7-Eleven and grab myself a little treat. Anyways, I went to go grab myself a little treat. The 7-Eleven person kind of scooted over to kind of watch me down the aisle a little bit. I was a little uncomfortable by that, but it's cool. I understand you might have some theft going on in that deal. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. Just because there has been theft at that 7-Eleven doesn't mean they're like, hey, you know what? We've been unfairly watching people, so we're just going to go ahead and let you take it for free. 47% of people that come inside a 7-Eleven don't have to pay for it anymore. All I'm saying is this, Ursula. That is dumb. You need to charge people. People need to pay their fare. And if you can't come up with a system to make people pay their fare, then that's on you. They need to need some new leadership in town. I'm sorry, Ursula. This is dumb. I don't know if I'm supposed to use dumb on Cairo Radio.
I think that's one of the approved words still, as much as we try not to do any name calling. But this makes zero sense. And for me, as someone who has in the past approved when Sound Transit has asked for money, I'm like, next time around, I don't think you're a good ambassador of my money. The father of a 7-year-old boy who was pepper sprayed during the 2020 Black Lives Matter protest in downtown Seattle has now filed a federal civil rights lawsuit accusing police of negligence and assault. That footage from the officer's body camera shows a masked woman wearing a bite helmet had grabbed an officer's baton and was shoving him.
Move back now!
And that's when the police sergeant unleashed the pepper spray at the woman, but the 7-year-old and his father were behind her, and they were sprayed inadvertently. That's according to an investigation by the Office of Police Accountability, which found that the sergeant likely did not see the child when he deployed pepper spray. Among other things, though, the lawsuit alleges that the city and its officers violated the law against discrimination because the boy and his dad are black, and the protest was intended to address excessive force used unjustly against African Americans and other people of color.
Sorry. I don't think they deserve a dollar. I don't mean to be harsh right here on a Friday morning, but that parent does not deserve a dollar for that 7-year-old being sprayed in the face. I don't like that it happened. It's very unfortunate that it happened. But today I was able to see the entire video. Up until today, I had only seen the picture. I had only seen that version of it.
The boy crying, which was heartbreaking.
It was heartbreaking. Don't nobody want to see a 7-year-old. But Ursula, this morning,
your boy Chef sent me the video, and I was able to see it in its entirety. And after seeing it, I'm saying again, they don't deserve a dollar. And because this police officer, it was an accident. They didn't mean to do that, number one. Number two, these police officers, at that time, there was someone trying to take their baton, trying to grab at them. Okay. This police officer didn't pull out a taser or a gun or anything like that. They just was putting back up. It was a backup situation. And unfortunately, and here's another thing that I saw. I saw the child was not masked up or anything, but the dad had a mask and covered up face and everything. And one last thing. Why are you so close with your child to the police officers while other people are trying to grab at the police officers?
Yeah.
So I apologize if I sound a little
harsh.
Why
are you apologizing? You are speaking facts. You are looking at it objectively.
Because the way I said it, I said they don't deserve a dollar, and I think I was harsh. I think my words could have been better.
Oh, okay.
My words could have been better.
You know, I mean, I feel horrible for this young boy. I'm not going to do parent blaming, but I will ask if you know that there's the potential for in a very volatile situation, I'm going to do everything I can to protect my own child. I think it's important to see what's going on and to see it was an important time in history. But I would have been looking from a different place. All that said, though, there's a masked woman wearing a helmet trying to take the sergeant's baton.
Yes.
He responds by using a non-lethal weapon. That's mm-hmm. the best you can ask for. Unfortunately, the kid was behind her. To call this negligence or discrimination, that's overreach. And in my opinion, and apparently your opinion too, based on the video and based on the facts. In Pierce County, hang on here because you're going to have to follow and it's going to be hard for all of you because it's hard for me right now. A debate is raging over who gets to decide which flags fly over the county city building. The News Tribune reports that Republican executive Bruce Dammeyer and the Democratic majority of the council have been beefing about this ever since last summer's Pride Month to celebrate the LGBTQ community. Council President Derek Young wanted to fly the Pride flag for the county's first ever Pride Month proclamation, but Bruce Dammeyer pushed back, saying that the county flagpole is not a forum for freedom of expression. It's supposed to identify the location of government law offices. And he also said the county has to have a unifying policy about flags. But Young and the other Democrats now passed a policy that says majority rules when it comes to flying the flag policy. And then Dammeyer vetoed it this week, saying he has the ultimate say in which flags can fly and that he can require unanimous support from the council to hoist a flag over the building. Did we follow that?
I did.
It's a little bit confusing, but it's a fight over the flag. Who has the flag?
So the question is this: who do you agree with? Do you agree with the executive of Pierce County, Bruce Dammeyer, or do you agree with Derek Young in the city council, in the council down there? Whew. Well, I agree with Bruce Dammeyer, but I don't like how I come to that same agreement. I don't think that Bruce Dammeyer and I, the executive and I, come to this agreement at the same way. Now, let me explain that, Ursula. When it comes to government buildings and when the flagpole, I went to military school and there was a lot of explanations and understandings about the flag. I believe at government buildings, I believe that the only flag that should fly should be the U.S. flag. That's it. And so even though I understand the LGBTQ community, I understand flags flying, this isn't against them at all. This isn't against any other representation at all. I just want to be very clear and consistent that I believe that it just should be the U.S. flag that should fly. Ursula?
And in many ways, I also agree with Bruce Dammeyer because right now, flags can be a very contentious situation. He brought up, well, you know, the thin blue line. What if we put that up there? Or, you know, but I believe, Chef, and I wanted just to confirm, right now over the county city building, it's not just the U.S. flag, but it's also
the POW/MIA, right?
Yeah. So it's there are other types of flags, but I think he's trying to say we need to keep it not you know, without controversy. But now there's a controversy over what should be non-controversial. And the other argument on this, Gee, and the reason why I'm kind of humming and hawing a little bit is that with the county council, majority does normally rule. And if you veto it, if the council can get enough to get the two-thirds vote normally, then it's like you can't veto it. So it's kind of a mess over the flag. But in general, I would say make it easy. Just fly the U.S. flag and then find other ways to celebrate the LGBTQ community.
Yeah. 9:30. What we got going on? What's on tap? I think we got an amazing interview, right, Ursula?
We do, because we have talked about the abysmal lack of shelter beds all across the region. And now there's a situation in Snohomish County that caught our eye. And we're going to talk to a reporter from the Daily Herald about that.
All right. It's Gee and Ursula.
Welcome back to the Gee and Ursula Show. Happy Fresh Fridays to all of you. 888-973-5476 is our state roofing text line. And we were expecting a guest during this segment, but we're having some difficulties getting a hold of her. So we will postpone that to next week and we will continue our top stories segment. And so right now I want to talk about what's going on with Alaska Airlines, because the union council representing Alaska's pilots has now voted to authorize a strike, which means a pilot walkout could happen for the first time in the company's 90-year history. And this vote came after that informational picket was held on April 1st. As you know, the pilots have been without a contract for 3 years. They're pushing for better pay, more flexibility in their schedules, a better work-life balance, and they want also fewer mid-flight changes in routes and trips. Many of them say they are flying fatigued because of this severe pilot shortage. And the lack of available pilots has forced Alaska to cancel hundreds of flights in recent weeks. I've got a flight on Alaska coming up next week. It's already been moved once. It's been changed. Mm-hmm. What are the odds that I'm going to get to my destination?
Well, you're going to be good next week because you have a 6 a.m. flight. So
exactly. That's what it got moved to.
Yeah. I my bad. I didn't mean to tell the time.
Yeah, no, it's good.
So you're going to be good. But you know what? This is a story that I didn't need to write notes on. This is a story that, and as I start reading it, I just stopped. And I just want to just say this, because I had assumed that those in leadership with Alaska Airlines could be possibly listen. Alaska, what are we doing? Why?
You are the biggest fan of Alaska Airlines, by the way.
What? Huge. Like, yeah. Alaska, like, you guys are like the top. You guys are the prime, like, why are you doing this? Why are you allowing it time for another airline like Delta, who you have been competing with? You're opening up a door for them to compete. How much longer do you think people like myself are going to just stay here and continue being loyal to this? Make it right. Make it right. Get this fixed. Here's what we expect. Again, when you guys are changing times and you're doing these things, you're not just impacted. That's not a canceled flight. No, that is a canceled graduation appearance. That is a canceled funeral appearance. That is a canceled opportunity to see your loved one for the last time. This is very serious. And it needs to stop. Again, I bring that up because let's be real. And I don't want to tell you business, Ursula, but next week you are going somewhere that is
Boulder.
Very important to you.
Yes. Yes. And I will no longer be a loyal Alaska flyer if I do end up missing that somehow. Or basically, I've already decided we're going to end up paying whatever it takes to get there. Even if I have to drive, I'll get there. But I hope that's not the case. But it shouldn't be. Alaska has worked so hard to have this great reputation, the sterling reputation. The last thing I want as a traveler anywhere on any airline is to have pilots who are extremely tired. That's not a position that I really want someone to be stretched so thin that they're exhausted, that they're sick, they're flying, and not at their ultimate well-being, let's say. So this is not going to get better. The fact that they've gone on for 3 years without a contract, and now for the first time in the company's 90-year history, they're talking about potentially going on strike. I think that is going to be, if they don't come up with some kind of agreement, and both sides need to work on this, but if they don't come up with some kind of agreement, then I think this is going to be one of those things that Alaska's going to have to work on really, really long to get themselves back to where they were. You know, in terms of traveler satisfaction.
You're 100% right. Because I'm going to tell you this. Taxi cab used to be the leader.
Yep.
Ask Uber about that. Blockbuster used to be the leader. Ask Netflix about that. I could keep going and going. Kmart used to be a leader. Ask Walmart about that. What I'm saying is Alaska, don't sit here and continue to think that this is going to just last and people like me and others that are extremely loyal towards you will just stay around and be like, you know, I'm going to take that. Sometimes you got to move on to another relationship. You know what, Ursula? If you're in a relationship sometimes and you're married and your significant other just decides that they don't want to come home on a Friday night, you ain't going to sit there and take that. No. You're going to go and find you a new boo that's going to come home at night.
You know, and I think maybe Delta's starting to see the light, too. You saw how they changed that stuff with the flight attendants.
Saw that?
Yeah, where they're like, okay, because they don't want the flight attendants to unionize, and they're realizing that, hey, maybe we should pay them while they're saying hello to everybody as they board the plane instead of waiting for the door to shut and for everyone to be seated. So hopefully Alaska kind of clues in here, because I think the damage that's going to be done, and it's not just that airline. I know that there's a pilot shortage period, but you guys are going to have to make a move.
Somebody texted in, Ursula, and said, oh, please, Alaska Airline pilots make $150,000 to $300,000 per year. I'd rather a pilot make $500,000 a year than a football player make a little money just catching a catch. Do you know the lives that are in the hands of a pilot on a daily basis?
Yeah, and I don't think the only thing that they're fighting for is money.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about scheduling, and they're talking about work conditions, et cetera. So again, get to the table, work something out, and get it done, because I don't want to continue to miss stuff. Okay, I want to mention something, though, because it was a big day, the NFL draft yesterday. The Seattle Seahawks got a really, really big guy.
With the 9th pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Charles Cross, tackle, Mississippi State.
Okay, how were you feeling when that was announced?
I was super excited. The room erupted. The Seahawks party that I was standing there and hosting, the room went crazy. And here's why they went crazy. And here's why I'm going crazy. And here's why you should be excited. Because when the Seahawks were on the clock at the number 9 pick, instead of trading that pick away or doing something else, they actually picked a player. So, and this player that they picked, Charles Cross, is a very good left tackle that's going to be for the Seahawks. He's out of Mississippi State. In high school, he was the number one prospect out of the state of Mississippi. This is an excellent pick, Ursula.
And Coach Pete Carroll says, for a big, big guy, Cross is really nimble.
Yeah, you can see his footwork. You know, I know that, you know, you're the 700 passes last year, but he can run block too. He can really move his feet, and he can get off the ball and do the cutoff blocks on the backside and the front side stuff and get on the second level and stay on his feet and really be agile about all of that. And he's just an excellent prospect to be a left tackle. And he's played against great competition and held up well, you know.
No.
I heard he's kind of a quiet giant, too. Or he's a quiet guy.
Yeah. Don't let Chef describe picking of offensive line. Chef, you can't call him that anymore.
Big Uglies?
Hey, I heard O-line generally, I mean, at least in high school and also in college, they tend to be, even though people think, oh, they're just dumb oafs, they're actually generally the ones that have the highest GPA.
Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, that's high school, college, and in pros. The offensive linemen are gentle giants. Offensive linemen are more likely to be in a relationship and married than any other position group.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they fall in love easy, you know. You know what I'm saying? It's like, look, I finally got me a girlfriend, you know.
Take it all you can.
Hey, coming up next in We Need to Talk, we got some really cool would you rather topics. You gotta stand around for this. Here's one. Would you rather receive $25,000 or your best friend receive $100,000? Ah, we talk about that next. Gene Ursula. Happy Fresh Fridays on the G and Ursula Show. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Michael Medved will join us. We haven't talked to my man in like 3 weeks. Been too long.
Too long.
Right now, we need to talk, Ursula. I have three would you rather topics, okay? Here is the first, and would I tease before going to break. Would you rather win $25,000 or your best friend wins $100,000? Go ahead, text in and play. Let's go. What do you got, Ursula?
I'm going to have my best friend win $100,000 because I have multiple best friends.
Okay.
And I know every single one of them would probably insist on me getting half. So I would end up with $50,000 instead of $25,000.
So wait, so let me, I'm not really that good at math. So uh-huh. You said you have multiple best friends.
Yes.
So you could only have one of those best friends win $100,000. So you have to pick a best friend. So now you see the problem, and that's why I want the $25,000. You see what I'm saying? So if I get the $25,000, I don't have to pick anybody. But if you get the $100,000, you have to pick a best friend. Now, some of your best friends is listening. Go ahead, Ursula.
No, I mean, you do have to pick, G. You're just choosing yourself and picking selfishness. That's all. Not that my answer's any different.
Any one of my best friends, and yes, I think all of them listen. And that would include my sister, too. And
Tracy, Honey, Gigi, Sonia, Sharon.
Look at you. I love you. Yes, all of the above. And yes, I truly believe any one of them would insist that they give me back some. So I'm going with a friend.
If you give Honey $100,000, Honey gonna give you $10,000.
She's dying right now. I'm gonna see her tonight. No, she's gonna half.
Okay, Chef.
I like David and Moses Lake's point because this saves me from just being a selfish person. David says, my wife is my best friend, so she can have the $100,000.
Oh, no!
And you know what? Washington's a community property state, so what's hers is mine.
Well
I pick
done.
You, Gabby.
Well
winner,
done.
Winner.
Okay, here's the next one. We got to go. Here's the next one. Would you rather detect every lie you hear or get away with every lie you tell?
Oh, this one's easy. I would rather detect every lie I hear.
Same.
Yeah, that
no.
is so.
Same.
Oh.
No.
Of course it's going to be Chef. Okay, why, Chef?
Not because I want to be able to lie impeccably and get away with it, because frankly, that's just a whole lot to remember. But I don't want to know a lot of the lies people are telling me. Hey, how I look in this shirt? Hey, boss, tell me what you think. I want a review. The lies that people tell you so
generally.
Many times are to protect you, not make them look good. I don't want the cold, hard truth about me from those around me.
Oh, that's funny. Nah.
Okay. All
I
right.
want to be able to, detect every
you.
Lie would be awesome.
Me and you on the same page, yes. Ursula. I want to detect every lie. All right. Last but not least, here we go. Would you rather be beautiful and not smart, or unattractive, but a genius?
Okay, so all of that is, so what is being attractive, what's unattractive, what is smart, what's not smart?
Okay. How about this? So, whatever you, way that you would like to look, your way, okay, that you think I'd be perfect, would you rather be that way and not smart or unattractive but a genius?
Okay, so I'm going to go with I would be beautiful or attractive and not smart.
Me
and
too?
Wait. And the reason I say that only is because I'm happy being smart enough. I don't need to be a genius. Being a genius can be a blessing and a curse.
Uh-huh.
I have members of my family who were determined to be geniuses, and sometimes that's just a heavy burden to carry. And let's face it, there are things that you can get away with or that help in life when you're attractive.
Facts. What do you got, Chef?
I'm actually going to have to agree with you on this one, because while you can overcome being wildly unattractive, you know, and you have excellent earning potential as a genius, even if you're not very smart, I don't think just being smart counts for very much.
Exactly.
But your work ethic and your habits have a lot more to do with your success in life than your intelligence. And if you have the added boost of being wildly attractive at the same time, that's like a level up times two.
I feel attacked.
By which part?
The part where you said all you got to do is just be a working hard and you don't really necessarily have to have all of the intelligence. You know?
That wasn't a shot, but you'd like to take it that way.
Chef's spitting facts over there. You got to admit, man, sometimes it's easier being a more attractive person. You get things handed to you sometimes.
Pretty woman walking down the street.
I mean, you got to admit, it's a little bit easier those days.
Ursula, you got any final thoughts, my friend?
That I'm blessed having such great friends. That's one thing. And I guess I'm blessed not being a genius, mm-hmm. but I consider myself smart enough, mm-hmm. so I'm good. But I'm also blessed just to be on this show, hanging out with all of you on a Fresh Friday.
Let's get spicy. Which one, including Honey, of your friends is most likely, once you gave them the $100,000, that would actually not split it with you?
Nope.
You can only pick one.
Nope.
Come on now.
I'm asking you that because you answered in the same way. Well, you said you wanted the $25,000.
I want the $25,000. Yeah.
Which one of my friends
would actually not give you half?
I couldn't tell you. I think they all would do the same.
Yeah.
Okay, hey, any friends listening right now, if you disagree with me, tell me, then I'll say your name.
Hey, coming up next on the show, Michael Medved is going to join us. And here's my question for Michael. Is he the majority of the Republican Party, or is he the minority of the Republican Party? It's Jen Ursula.
I need you. I'll treat you right.